Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Liverpool make another European final and Bournemouth are up. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Wednesday, 4th of May. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Eddie Russell.
And I'm Vidusha Nahantaraja.
Yes, welcome to the Football Ramble, everybody. Vish coming to us straight from Makeout Creek. How's it going over there, Visho?
It's good. It's good. I've worn this jumper so many times, and Mason's just read it. It's a Mitski jumper.
She does have a great talent for reading clothes, as I've experienced before.
Yeah, I am actually convinced that one of your tops says Mace 22 or something.
Yeah, it doesn't. But anyway.
I can believe that.
Yeah, you can believe that.
You can show
of course it does. Of course it does.
It's because Andy's living the Vita without the loco.
Like Jurgen Klopp?
No, the man's full loco.
Yeah. On loco sometimes.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it? So Brass went to watch this game last night, everybody, in a strange little cinema.
Or a massive cinema. It was quite a large cinema.
This is not something I've ever done, so I'm quite interested. What was the vibe?
It was the view in Leicester Square. Actually.
Right. Is this something they commonly do then?
It was nice.
Go and watch football in a cinema?
Well, I got invited along. I thought I'd give it a go. It turns out that commentary is a little bit intrusive when you can't flit in and out of it. So
imagine McManaman and surround sound.
I had a pair of massive headphones on me.
Did you put them on?
I can tell
like
you.
Like a little kid at a concert.
I can tell you that the new Vince Staples album is magnificent.
I quite like that. You used to be able to get this thing on Pro Evo on the PlayStation 2 where you could change all the music.
Yes.
And so I used to do that. I just used to put like random different playlists on there. But I like the idea that during a football match you should have that option as well.
Oh, what? And you could have like in the olden days of the pandemic where you could have the crowd sound fitting to the music. Sorry, fitting to the game. You could have the music kind of fitting to the action.
Have you seen?
Quite cool.
That would be quite cool. Have you seen people do that? So a mate of mine, Felix White, did the score for a film about cricket, basically. Mm-hmm. And there's a Kevin Peterson's innings at Headingley. He's like 149, which was incredible. But he got his mate to do the drums to it, so his mate watched it and then put some headphones on and watched it again and then drummed along to it. And there's a clip I think on Felix's Instagram or maybe YouTube as well. It is outstanding.
I really want to hear this. I mean, I kind of imagine a big Kevin Peterson innings would be metal, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, very much like Liverpool.
The best of Dortmund or the best of Liverpool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like the idea that you have people doing it live. Could that be mental?
Hard to tell what it would have been for last night's game, but all I can say is that it would, for the first half, it would have been one genre, and the second half, it would have been another genre.
Well, the first half...
Full-time, final score, Villarreal 2, Liverpool 3, after Liverpool scored 3 goals in 12 minutes. After Villarreal went 2-0 up in the first half and made us all believe in the upset.
They gave too much in that first half, basically. Didn't they?
I mean, did they have to?
I said beforehand that... Well, they did. They had to... They had to produce a performance like they produced in the first half of the home leg against Bayern. But when I said that, I didn't actually imagine they'd go and do it.
Specifically that.
And they went and did exactly that. But basically, I think from their perspective, you can't press like that for the whole 90 minutes for a start. And secondly, Emery like tried it on. He took his luck beyond the limit by leaving Gerard Moreno on. Bring him off at half-time.
Yeah.
I mean, a bloke...
That was a shame. He was very limpy.
Who got up to 35 minutes and couldn't run anymore. And they got a great first half out of him. He was key to the way they went after Liverpool in that first half. He knits it all together. He allows other unexpected players, like Coquelin, for example, to go past him and get into the box. But when it gets to that point where he's limping for the 10, 15 minutes before half-time, it's just like, you've done well.
Here?
You've got half out of him. Don't leave him to not be able to do anything in the second half. He made the changes when it was too late. I mean, if you were doing the score for that second half, I think the bit up until Liverpool scored,
yeah,
it would have been like horror movie music. You know, when you think, you know, don't go in that direction because it's ominous. Don't go down that dark corridor because something terrible is going to happen. And they keep going down the dark corridor. And then, you know, it's kind of psycho shower scene when the Fabinho shot goes towards Geronimo Rui.
Because that's where it goes. That's where the inevitable conclusion
is.
But I don't know. Maybe I was just living in kind of fantasy mad football land. I don't know.
You had different headphones on.
Yeah. I don't know. Piano music it was. I don't know whether it did feel kind of intellectually you knew that the likely outcome was not going to be that Villarreal were going to be able to maintain this into the second half and go on and go through to the final. But I did sort of believe it might be possible. I don't know about you, Vish, if you felt like it was just a kind of inevitable detour in a conclusion that we all saw in advance of Liverpool going through.
I mean, I think a lot of that feeling, because I had it a bit as well, was probably governed by how bad Liverpool were.
Mm.
But then because Liverpool were so bad, I just thought, there's no way they're coming out in the second half and being worse or being as bad. And I think
that's what McManaman said.
Yeah. God. But the other thing I thought about it was Liverpool are you know, a brilliant team. Everyone contributes to the whole. But even when they're in bad situations, those front players are so individually geared that you kind of always felt someone was going to do something.
Especially if you can bring Luis Diaz on at half-time.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of think about when there were moments in that first half where I think people were saying actively that it's the worst half of Liverpool played probably all season. And, you know, Klopp, we'll talk about Luis Diaz a bit more, but Klopp was always going to change something. And so he bring on Diaz, brilliant, obviously a feather in his cap. I also think he did well by not changing the midfield because he must have had every compulsion to bring off Keita.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Well, Keita, I thought Guy thought Keita was trash.
I would have said Thiago, but yeah. that was the point, isn't it? That they had kind of 11 substitutable players at the half time.
Well, I thought Keita because Thiago, you kind of if you're chasing the game as they were at half time, you have to leave him on. Mm. Didn't make the changes, and it works. You know, everyone in that midfield three raised their game.
I think Thiago is the one that I would have taken off as well because he's the most susceptible to getting the hurry up, and that's what they that's what they were in the
Brassel anti Thiago vendetta continues. Yeah. Do you not like
nice things?
It's ever so popular on Twitter these days. But I think it's easy to say Liverpool were shit in the first half, etc. And it's their worst performance of the season. People saying that about Bayern after their first half at Villarreal.
Yes, that's exactly. Okay, yeah. Is it something they did to themselves, or is it something they have done to them? It is Villarreal,
and we have to give them credit. That credit,
especially because the town is the size of a house, isn't it? Yeah, we couldn't do a podcast from it, could we? No. One of us would be in the house, and we'd be outside.
No, that's right. I tell you what, the little bar opposite Madrigal, well, you have to call it Ceramica these days, don't you? The little bar where they have all the
Is that in a different
scarves.
Town?
Or... Yeah, where they have all the scarves behind the bar from their European adventures. It's lovely. I love that.
That's like you know, really the nice. Teeth of my enemies.
It's like Cheers. It's really nice.
I feel like we knocked you off course there briefly, bruh.
Yeah, possibly. the thing is, no one expected Villarreal to keep up their first half in the second half. Just don't play like that. You know, and part of that is to do with Emery's coaching. But they played the second half against Bayern when Bayern were better at a very different level. But it was far more controlled. Mm. Moreno was fitter, obviously, which was a huge part of it as well, because he was great in that second half. They were smarter on the counter. But, you know, you could say, well, Liverpool are that little bit better, which I think is true as well. But as well as saying they ran out of gas, I know Emery said that, and that's kind of true, but I don't think his tactics helped.
Right, okay.
So you wouldn't, it's a bit basic to just make jokes about Geronimo, really?
Oh no, I'm all in for that.
Okay, cool.
I mean, the thing is, on our group chat,
two Megs and obviously the mad rampage out towards Sadio Mane.
Yeah, now that was in a different town.
Yeah.
But I was halfway through, when he let that Fabinho shot in, I was halfway through typing into our group chat, just so you know, Rui is going to drop a massive bollock at some point. And then I thought, well, this looks like, you know, wise after the event, so I had to go back and delete it.
You know,
I just can't type quickly enough.
You know, there was that chat during the Olympics last summer about how it'd be great if at every event there was just a regular person so you could gauge how good the athletes were.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Like, compared to like normal people, yeah. I suppose. That was what it looked like with Rooley yesterday, with Alisson on one side and this Joker on the other. Yeah, it really kind of hammered home how good goalkeepers are now.
There has been some interesting chat on Twitter recently about, you know, how do you split Liverpool and Manchester City? And there have been even some people saying, I suppose one particular corner of the internet has been saying, well, it's unfair if a team wins it by 1 point. It should go to a best of three playoff, et cetera, but I guess the one way you could separate Manchester City and Liverpool, if Manchester City had just held on to Geronimo Rui, that would have sorted the title out.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Just in case there are any Rooney fans in the house listening to us, he did make a good save just towards the end.
You're not going to do that commentator trope about, oh, well, he's made some of it up. He's made up for it now. Yeah. It's like,
absolutely
no,
not.
Really
he made, he made.
Oh, he's picking up his own shit. Well done.
Liverpool, as a result of all this, will now play in every possible game this season. And they looked like, oh, I don't want to talk about the quadruple, actually. I was about to set up a chat about the quadruple.
But they're happy to talk about the quadruple.
Yeah.
Someone was pointing this out to me the other day. They're feeling, it was Ian Irving, actually, on Premier League, was saying how, for example, Sir Alex Ferguson was always like paranoid about that.
Yeah.
You know, sort of ban the word. Whereas Klopp and his players feel very relaxed about it. Right, that's why that's it feels good. So possible,
yeah.
I think, for Liverpool.
So, to it's be not clear,
it's
I'm
not
saying,
just the quality, it's the mentality, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm not saying I want to diss them. I think it's an incredible achievement what they've done. And, you know, I'd be, like so many pundits have now been saying, you know, this could be the greatest team we've ever seen in this country. I just mean there'll be time for that. There'll be more time for that in the future, in the near future, as they now march on to the Champions League final.
Yes, definitely. But I do think it's relevant to talk about now, or to mention now, as you did, because they're, as you said, playing in every possible game this season, because it's always something that people float in October,
yes,
or people float, you know, the turn of the year, or, you know, when we're kind of at the FA Cup quarterfinal stage. As Andy said, Liverpool were talking about it after they won the League Cup. You know, Trent Alexander-Arnold, I think, posted a photo of him with the trophy and 1 out of 4, basically. And now here we are in May, still talking about it. Mm. I think regardless of where they go from here, that is worthy of some credit.
It's magnificent.
I know it's not the end goal at all, because they've only secured 1 of those 4. Mm. But the fact that the conversation is still happening at this time of the season is remarkable, really.
Liverpool will head to Paris to play in the Champions League final. Mo Salah says he wants to play Real Madrid in the final, for what it's worth, on the quadruple nonsense. A report has gone out to Liverpool City Council asking them to sign off on a potential short notice bus tour if Liverpool win it. It apparently says that the need to arrange the event was identified in late April, which is an interesting point that you were making as well, Visho. Like, they're still talking about it.
I mean, yeah, if it was identified in late February, I'd be impressed.
Yeah. But yeah, she says April 2020. Give it a couple of years.
That's part of the plan. That's part of the Jürgen Klopp plan. Bournemouth, in the other game last night, the other big game last night, were promoted back into the Premier League. They managed to get the win. Kiefer Moore, the only goal, the difference between them and Forest. To be honest, yesterday we were talking about Forest potentially making it through in the automatic promotion places, but Bournemouth did the job. And then there were 8 minutes, Andy Brassel, of injury time in which they, if they could have got the equaliser, Forest, then they would have taken this to the final day of the season.
So, I mean, if there was ever a point that you wanted, and no offence to Bournemouth, if there was ever a point where you wanted a goalkeeper equaliser, this was it.
Yes.
And Bryce Samba was really close, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was in the penalty box and he got a shot off. I mean, that's pretty close if you ask me.
That's all you want from a keeper who's come up as a neutral. Just touch the ball.
Well, yeah. I felt like he got quite a crap shot off, no?
But he was in space. It was a decent opportunity,
that's true, he was
right?
in space. So it wasn't like he deprived someone else the chance to potentially score. Yeah.
Saying he should have dummied it and let someone else tap it in at the back post.
That, I mean, in a dream world, yes.
Yeah, that would have been perfect.
That is exactly what they should have.
But actually, in the bit where they got that corner, the pass that Samba played to set up the attack.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, that was Edison-esque.
Yeah.
Wasted.
Well, to be fair, James Garner should have put in a better first-time corner. That was a dreadful corner in the 8th minute of, you know, injury time of a game you need to win.
Yeah.
Well, look, we might yet see him in the Premier League next season.
Well, I hope so. I miss Nottingham Forest.
Mm.
They've been out of the Premier League for a really long time now. And I have to say, I'm genuinely, again, no harm to Bournemouth, but I'm genuinely excited by the prospect of Forest being back in the Premier League. Obviously, after this, there's this nagging thought in my head that, well, best team never come up in the playoffs today.
I know because
my team was one of those not best teams that came up in the playoffs a couple of times.
Yeah.
But I suppose what I found interesting as well in this game is how Scott Parker, who's obviously very emotion, said that the free kick with Billingham and Kiefer Moore wasn't planned. Really?
What? He said
they just did it off the cuff.
That's not true, given if you look at Parker's celebration, he knows it's coming. There's no, like,
what's
double
in it?
Take.
Why would he lump?
Well, no, there's
so a, it's not like when Carlo Ancelotti was at Bayern Munich and the players were training without him.
I think there's a very good reason for lying.
Okay.
Because if you say it's planned, you'll never be able to do it again. You've kind of wasted all that time on one shot. I remember when Steven Gerrard scored a free kick against United at Old Trafford, where Dirk Kuyt, I think, did that thing where he pushed the guy on the side of the wall. It put pressure on him all the way through the build-up to the free kick, leaning on him. And then just as Gerrard runs up, he goes to lean on him again, but doesn't put any weight towards him. So I think Fletcher instinctively goes the other way and creates his gap, and Gerrard just slots it through the gap. They were asked about it in the post-match interview, and he was like, oh, no, I just got lucky. And then Gerrard did it 3 weeks later.
Oh.
But it's that thing of like, yeah, you've got, you kind of have to keep your secrets.
But if it's such an iconic goal, how are people going to
In the retelling, you know, in the book or whatever it is that they do, yeah, fine, he can say like, yeah, we worked on it for a while. But no, I totally understand that from Hal.
Congratulations, obviously, to Bournemouth. But it was a bit of a tough one for Forest because they should have had a penalty just before half time. Stuart Atwell, I'm now reading, and his assistant apologised after the game for wrongly calling Sam Surridge offside when he was then fouled by the Bournemouth keeper.
Yeah, Steve Cooper talked about that, didn't he, afterwards?
Well, I bet he did.
I mean,
so they should have had a penalty.
Yeah, you know one if you hadn't had an apology from Stuart Atwell, right? But I mean, it just wasn't Surridge's day, really, was it? I mean, he had that shot in the first 10 minutes that came off the crossbar as well. Super unfortunate. I mean, what Forest...
I thought he should have done better with that, actually.
Really?
I thought he just hit it to get it on target.
You see, there's my non-professional perspective. I just, if that was me doing that, I would think, what a lovely sound that's made.
Since Steve Cooper's appointment, no side has picked up more points than Forest in the league.
That's it. They've got to keep that momentum.
Yeah.
Don't they?
Although they've qualified for 4 playoffs and they've lost in all four semi-finals.
Also that time, was it in 2020, when they dropped out of the playoff places on the last game of the season?
Mm.
But that
was quite a spectacular effort.
Yeah, Christ. Yeah. But the thing I would say, though, is if you look at their cup form, you know, specifically in the FA Cup, getting to the quarterfinals there, could you perhaps say that there's something about, you know, their ability to get up for the big games and appreciate the kind of, not one and done, but certainly the extra pressure of those kind of games. So, you know, that kind of attitude might hold them in good stead.
Mm. Yeah, there were two kind of extraordinary things that happened off the pitch last night as well. Steve Cook thanked paramedics at the game after his father suffered a cardiac arrest before kickoff. In his tweet, he said they brought him back. Basically, they were able to resuscitate him and save his life. So
amazing.
We hope he's doing really well. And you know, thank you to the paramedics who acted so quickly. And David Brooks announced, this was before the game, Bournemouth player, that he is cancer-free and says he's excited to return in the not-so-distant future.
Stunning.
So,
and when you're going up as well, I mean, obviously his health is the most important thing, but there's that cliche about a player coming back from injury and illness being a new signing. David Brooks really is that.
Yeah.
If they were to upgrade like that, how much would it cost? He's so good.
Yeah, he was diagnosed last October, so it's been a long journey back to health, but really exciting to see him come back and wish him all the very best. All right, let's get to a break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break.
With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I'm quite a placid guy.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. We agree with anything you say. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. It's me, Vish, and Andy Brassel with you today. And it is Wednesday, which means it's time for Pep Talks.
We are so, so happy. We're so happy.
We are so happy. Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy for that.
We are so happy. I'm so happy. I'm so happy.
Sit down! Nobody talk! Sit down! We drink water and relax!
Oh, we've got one here from Matty. It says, one of my group recently became engaged. The trouble is, it's a shitemare of a relationship.
Oh, my God.
What a great noun. They've picked a date, and it's when my partner and I were planning our own big holiday in 2023. We've not booked anything, and we don't know what to do. Not book a holiday and attend the wedding that may or may not happen.
Oh, wow.
Or book a holiday in the hope that they split before it so we don't have to shite bag. Again, shite bag. That's fantastic. Makes sense? Well, I'm not sure shite mare and shite bag really does make sense. Oh. But I guess my immediate thought would be the polite way to approach this. Go to the stag and then say you've run out of money to go to the wedding.
Because
that's what a lot of people do anyway,
isn't
it? That's
such bad advice.
I've literally never
about?
Heard of that before in my life.
No?
You'd also have to make sure that the stag isn't just like, you know, a thing in a
Sorry,
pub and a...
Stag slash hen.
It's like, yeah, you'd have to make sure
is that
like,
better advice?
They go to Vegas or whatever.
Oh, yeah, we don't know where Matty's allegiance lies.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't
well,
it?
To be fair, he might know both and they might be one of those like friendship group couples.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, oh, I'll just match up because everyone else here is matched up.
We need more, to be honest, I think, to give proper high-quality advice that Pep Talks is famous for, I think we need a bit more detail about what exactly it is that makes this relationship so turbulent, because...
I mean, if he thinks that they're not going to be together in the space of a year, that's remarkable, yeah. That must be a very common thought among the friendship group.
But because what we don't know is if it's like this, you know, getting engaged is a trigger, it's like a way out, you know, someone's done it and they're trying to trigger a crisis in the relationship, or if it's just bad and they're just like horrible to everyone, but actually they kind of have passionate makeup sex and perhaps it's just what the group don't see.
Yeah, maybe.
Because we need to judge how likely it is if you're going to book a holiday.
Yeah, this is
also what sort of monster is booking a holiday for 2023 now?
Yeah, that's true. Although if it's a big holiday,
Matty, it's you who's got the issue here.
I think
it might be like a month long thing.
Yeah,
or
yeah,
like a
yeah.
They're like caravanning around New Zealand or whatever.
Right. Okay.
Actually, we don't know where these people are from. Clearly, they've concealed themselves a little bit. I don't know if Matty is. I don't know if Matty is your actual name.
Why
Matty.
Would he want to do that?
Why? So we don't know where they're likely to be going. We don't have enough detail, Matty.
I think it's fair to say that Shitemare is Oxford English. Yeah, they're definitely from the UK. You know that much.
I just think you need to. You know, I realise you've written into a podcast that goes out all over the world to talk about your friend's terrible relationship, but I think we need more detail.
Look, all we can tell you at this point, Matty, is just make sure you're on the stag. That's all that matters. They'll know you care.
I've got a new advice. I've thought about it a bit more now, because initially I was just in shock that we were receiving this on the football. I think you should book the holiday, and whether or not the wedding happens, you should not go to it. Because there's nothing so terrible as being at a wedding where you just know it's a bad thing. You know?
Really? Because I think when you're having nice food and nice cake, you don't really care.
Yeah, also, if it's an open bar, do you not? Go along.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't need to know the people.
All right, cynics. I'm all about love. I'm all about the beautiful nature of love. I'm not about the fucking free champers.
An absolute lie. I have an email from Anonymous. Hi, Randall.
All right, so you don't give your name, but this other guy does. What are we about to get?
Hi, Ramblers. This pep talk cuts deep. He probably didn't know he was going after the failed marriage one. I've played in goal for a Sunday league side for an eternity. It'll be coming up to 10 years this September. I can't say I've been Peter Schmeichel, but I haven't been 2016-17 Claudio Brava either.
Oh.
It's been a decent innings. Cricket. However, recently, a new keeper has arrived. He's quick around the goal, commands his area well, and is a full half foot taller than me and 15 years younger.
Oof.
But as captain, the gaffer still hasn't dropped me as a number one. Should I honorably take the decision out of his hands and fall on my own sword for the greater good? Or should I stubbornly fight for my place and hope this young buck just gives up and moves to another team?
You know what? I strongly suspect that this is not a real problem and has been lifted from the Grant and Star Cause, that short story by Irvin Welsh. But if it is true, follow what Bob did in that. He got turned into a fly by God and he poisoned the younger, better player.
Why?
By crawling all over his food. So you could do that, couldn't
you? Is that a kid's book?
It does seem to be quite heavy on literary references, because for the greater good is Gellert Grindelwald's slogan in Harry Potter. So he's a dark wizard. So I don't think we should support the greater good.
You know, I'm shocked that you don't bring Potter to the table more in this.
Shall I? I've got a lot. I've got a lot going on about Potter. I think he should fight for his place and fuck the young lad.
I think he should escape to victory himself. I don't think that. Don't break your arm, mate. I think stay and fight. I think because you're clearly a bit self-conscious because he's taller than you and younger than you, and as someone with a younger brother who's both those things, I feel a lot like, should I just leave the family? Is he their son now? But I would say that your coach probably sees things in you that you can't see yourself because of, you know, those worries that you have.
I think you're probably
better than you're telling us, and that, fight for your place.
That's important. That's man in true. The dressing room.
Exactly. Respected for your experience. That sixth man. Be Andre Iguodala. You know, it's great to be Iggy. So if you step aside, let the young guy go forward. It might turn out in a match situation, he's an absolute bag of nerves.
Yeah.
Let him
hoist
himself by his own petard and then you get your place back.
Good point, yeah. Just will him to fail.
Reject the future, Mr. Anonymous. That's what we're saying here on the Football Ramble. If you've got any questions for us, send them in. We'll get to them every Wednesday. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. We love failing to solve your dilemmas. Now, there was chat last week about Champions League turning into a Champions League festival of football for the final and the semi-final and the final. So abandoning two-legged Champions League semi-finals and replacing them with a week of football where the semis and the final would just be played out over a single week in one city. The European Club Association is understood to be preparing to throw its weight behind the idea, because what is football if it's not being fucked with by the people above? Frankly, who cares about some of the most glorious moments in European, in football history, in recent football history? Who cares? Forget them. Get a trivial little festival of football up and running, because that is what we need.
You know, the problem is you're against the branding rather than the actual thing.
Yeah. What? Am I?
We were talking about this before.
Andy just called you stupid.
Right, when we were talking about this before, as I was saying, I think the thing is here, if you're taking away two-leg semi-finals, that gives a greater possibility of a shock. So it really surprises me in a way. Well, obviously it doesn't surprise me if it's a way to fill their pockets more, but it surprises me that the elite clubs would be in favour of this.
They haven't thought it through, have they?
No, because they would like the extra game, I would think, to make more money. The best team, the more resourced team, the team with the higher wage bill, will almost always win a two-leg game as opposed to a one-leg game. I like this idea. I really like it. And when, although it was because of COVID, you had that like final eight in the Europa League and the Champions League. I really liked it. I thought it was good. I think the only issue I have with this is for the fans. Say you're a supporter of a semi-finalist and you go, say you're a supporter of a semi-finalist and you're like, right, well, I'm going to go over to Lisbon or Istanbul or wherever. Do I need to be there for 2 days, 4 days? Super inconvenient. From a sporting perspective, I really like it. From fans' perspective, it's far from ideal.
I thought you meant
because
you wouldn't get to have it in your home and away. You know, you wouldn't get to have home and away.
No. I mean it in the sense that, you know, if you're supporting a semi-finalist, you don't know how long you're going for. You don't know how long to take off work. You don't know how long to book your flights for. You don't know how long to book hotel accommodation for.
Also, bear in mind that it's likely that you'd have to buy the tickets for the final ahead of time.
Yeah.
And so you'll be in a situation.
You know the solution to that? Third, fourth pace playoff. It's what we all love.
Oh,
right?
God. But because of that, you know what's going to open itself up to deliberately is there just be more corporate tickets, won't there?
Mm.
Because you can't guarantee a certain number of fans getting into it for a final because they're not going to know that they're going to be there.
We started to think we were ahead of them in deciding that this was a good thing. I'm still not deciding it's a good thing. But
they're always one step ahead.
There's like money to be made. So we must have got it wrong.
Just to ask, you don't think it's a good thing from a sporting perspective?
Well, I'm not sure. Maybe are you telling me that you know for a fact that that's... I mean, it does seem logical that it would be the case that over two legs, the better, you know, the better funded side would be more likely to come through. I don't know if that's 100%, you know, I don't have the evidence before my eyes. Right.
Well,
The game, you know, the Villarreal-Liverpool game is a condensed version of that, isn't it? If that was one half... You know, Villarreal would only have to rock up for them. They wouldn't have to think about, shit, we've got to try and be better than this team for 180 minutes.
Yeah, I think if you go back to some of those games in the final eight in Lisbon, over two legs, do Leipzig beat Atletico? No. Over two legs, do Lyon, yay, beat Manchester City? No.
Okay.
I think you're getting more cup-like excitement in there.
So it looks as though what I've done here is extrapolated out from one glorious moment in my own football club's history.
to be completely
against something that is maybe totally logical and fine.
No, but that is a good point, actually. Well, yeah. Would Ajax have beaten Tottenham over one leg? Yes. Mm. Or a three-halves final?
That's what
final.
We all
yes.
wanted.
No, that is a really good point, actually, because you could argue that the most alluring thing of the Champions League knockout stages over the past 5 years, it's all about the comeback. It's all about
the
comeback.
That's what I have in my mind, yeah, of course, and remontadas and all the like of that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
that's what is my instinctive rejection of this.
Yeah.
But then I am very pro-upsets, generally speaking. Yeah. So I don't know, are you at all persuaded in the opposite direction by the comeback idea? Because people say, oh, but, you know, people try and shut, you know, there's more nil-nils if there's a first leg versus second leg thing. But I, anecdotally, again, I don't have the full evidence about this, but that doesn't feel like that is the case. And I don't know, yeah, I'd really like a two legs effect, home and away. Like seeing the, you know, with Villarreal, okay, good example, but it was awesome to go in there and see them in their stadium, see what their vibe is like.
But it's not like it's getting rid of all the two-legged ties.
That's true.
It's just a bit of the end. So I think you get the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
You get that real tournament feel for the final four. And I know this is a much smaller example, but in the Taça da Liga in Portugal, the League Cup, it works brilliantly. It's really good fun.
Because I think, and then the other thing, the other argument against it I had in my mind instinctively was just that, like, finals are generally in the European Cup, blah, 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 finals are generally a bit shitter than the semi-finals. And I thought that was to do with the two-leg affair thing.
Also, think about it from a performance point of view. Like, playing the semi-finals that close to a final. I know, obviously, they're not two legs, but... I don't know. That feels to me like we're really stretching players.
Well, it's just tournament football, and they will be playing one game less.
And I do love tournament football. I love it.
We're looking about... I always think we should be looking... Football's never looking about ways, but should be looking about ways where you can, A, thin out the calendar a little bit, and B, introduce more jeopardy. Now, football's moving in the other direction to that. I think we all realise that. And this feels like a little bit of a concession to that. Now... Are they doing it for altruistic sporting reasons? Well, no. But if we're ending up with something good because of it, fine.
It's brilliant that, you know, you touched on it there with at the start about how the big teams are in favour of this, despite the fact it kind of goes against them a little bit.
But we must have missed something. That can't be true, can it?
But it might be in terms of if you're just thinking about ways to make money, at some point you're not going to realise that you're actually going. One of your projects is going one way, and another is the other is going the other way.
And of course, there's no realisation that creating Jeopardy is a great way to make money because you're making a brand. You're making a thriller.
It's like you see those tweets from the US where some right wing shock jock says something like, "Well, if we if the vaccine's free, why isn't all medicine free?" And you're like, "Yes, exactly, exactly, mate."
Okay, Andy, persuade me of something else. Then go on. There must be loads of other stuff I could be persuaded on.
Is it too soon for Arsenal are going to qualify for the Champions League?
No. If she's opening up here, do something about the trousers because they're ridiculous. Talk her out of ever wearing those again.
I knew I was going to suffer for the make-out creak jibe. Emotionally, I'm still not convinced, but I think that these are two good arguments. And yeah, underdog. I'm pro underdog.
I'm not just for my bit in it. I don't necessarily agree with the semi-final thing, but I do think it would be quite cool if you would have the next gen Champions League final, the women's Champions League final, and then the men's in that kind of week. So if you start on one weekend, you'd have the kids one on the Wednesday with the women's and men's either side of it. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Well, I think it would be even nice to have the Women's Champions League final before the Men's Champions League final in the same stadium. I think that's worked quite well when they've done it at Spurs, for example.
I'm up for that. Tonight, Real Madrid face Manchester City. David Alaba has been ruled out of this second leg. Kyle Walker back in training yesterday, which is going to rule out any more Vinicius Fernandinho foot races. Carlo Ancelotti says he will retire when he leaves Real. But he also said, if Real want me to stay here another 10 years, I will stay another 10 years.
It's a great negotiating tactic, isn't it? I might leave, but if you want me to stay, I'll stay forever.
I guess the other part of that is I will stay as long as it takes me to finish this cigar. Which will probably be longer than they actually have planned for him.
What a shot that was. He didn't rule out international football, though. He said a national team in the future can be an option. Canada. Why not?
Did he say Canada? Canada?
Well,
he said Canada's his second team now.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That is nice.
His wife's Canadian, isn't she?
Oh, is that it?
Yeah,
right.
I think so.
Imagine seeing him at a Raptors game. Sat next to Drake. Imagine Carlo and Drake. God. I'm all over this.
Pep Guardiola was asked.
Imagine if he turns up on Alphonso Davies' Twitch stream soon after sat next to Drake.
It has been foretold.
I'm all over this. Sorry.
Guardiola was asked if they'll put on a guard of honour after Real's title win. This is a little bit of creative questioning, I think, because Pep said, no, this issue does not concern the Champions League. I have nothing to say. This is a UEFA competition, as is pretty bloody obvious. But the reason he was being asked that, Brass, is because Atletico Madrid have said there's absolutely no chance that they will do a guard of honour for Real Madrid in the league.
At the weekend. Yeah, that's right.
And he wanted to get a good answer, presumably.
I mean, Simeone won't even do a handshake on the touchline. I mean, he's not going to let his team do a guard of honour for Real Madrid, though, is he?
That's his brand. Yeah.
It is his brand. It's very much his brand.
Do you think, are you God of Honor fan?
I am, but only when it's called Corridor of Applause, as you know.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's a disgrace that they're not having a Corridor of Applause.
The Avenue of Acclaim. Just trying to think of more of them.
The Tunnel of Terrificness.
Yeah. Huddle of Hand Jobs.
You've got to put a stop to this. This is your job.
I'm just trying to figure out if we're gonna go down the path of plaintive clapping out into the rest of our day, because it is the end of the Football Ramble, just this episode, hopefully. Off the back of all of this. So let's get out of here. Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.